Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to recap that 3-2 victory against Cruz Azul in the Clásico Joven. We're going to talk about the things that we liked. Spoiler alert, not so many. And the things that we didn't like. Spoiler alert, there's a lot. And then, of course, we'll give you guys updates as to what's going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. And then, briefly before we start, I just want to give a shout-out to AJ, who's doing an amazing job right now covering the Liga MX Femenil, América Femenil. They're on route to hopefully take Tigres down. Right now, I believe Katy Killer has just scored. So if you guys are listening to this right now, be alive. Then you guys got an update right there. Shout out to AJ. But introducing today's co-host that are going to be talking all things America with me. It is none other than New York's favorite resident, Christian Rosendo, and my OC neighbor, Chris Rivera. Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
Doing good, doing good. I was just looking at you and I was like, if I wore glasses, do we look alike?
I think we do. We could be twins. We could be long lost twins if you wore glasses.
I mean, yeah. I'm just a little more darker than you, but I think we could pass as brothers, though, maybe.
Yeah, no, 100%. Maybe not the... I don't know. Your hair's a little curlier than mine.
We got the beard going.
I was going to say, you guys get the same haircut.
I was trying to find glasses just now, because I kind of... When I play, I wear a blue light glasses.
Yeah, this is literally what these are.
Right, exactly. So I was trying to find them to put them on, so we kind of look alike, but I couldn't find them. Maybe
it's next okay. Podcast. We'll have it.
Yeah, no. I hope you guys are doing okay. It's hot here. it's hot here, and yeah, hopefully the weather gets a little cooler. But instead of talk about America, like I said, I have a lot of things we'd like, and a lot of things that we didn't like, and I'm sure we're getting to a little debate about something. But
alrighty, and then from one hemisphere to the other, Chris, talk to me. How's the heat over in sunny Anaheim?
It's annoying, but it's not as bad as it's been.
This is probably one of the more cooler weathers that we've podcasted in the past like 2 months.
So in the morning, it was super cloudy over here. I don't know how it was, but it was like kind of cloudy. And then, once it hit noon, it just started getting a little like what that annoying heat. It's not like, oh man, it's so hot. It's just like, you're indoors and you're just like, why does it feel like that?
I know, I feel you, brother. But hey, we're almost out of there. And I would imagine the same goes for you, Christian. Summer is just around the corner to end. And with that, hopefully comes better times, not just weather-wise, but for Las Águilas del América as well. Well, gentlemen, there's only one thing on today's schedule, and that's the Clásico Joven, right? Right. Thankfully, there's an international break that we'll get into, right? We have a friendly against Tigres in the States. We'll maybe touch upon that in just a second and how important that is coming into the Clásico. But let's talk about this Clásico Joven that I think painted itself differently, like three different ways throughout the match. So basically, we started off on the right foot. America scored early, right? One thing that we always, always heavily want to see this side is get on the scoreboard early. And then completely shifts, completely changes. A whole different America is playing once that goal comes in. Talk to me a little bit about your initial reaction, Christian. How did you see the team from the get-go? I mean, you saw that we get on the board right away. Great goal by Julian Quiñones, who puts the ball on the back of the net. But I think Brian did a great job at making that happen. Just talk to me a little bit about the first couple of minutes.
Yeah, no, like you said, I think it was a very positive image, and kind of that we always wanted from America. And like the past recent years, it's a start strong. Like we always kind of gotta feel out the opponent, but I think the message was go out there, get it. We're obviously the better team, but let's go find something extremely early and you know, sooner rather than later, you know, 4 minutes in, and you know, put the back of the net. At that point, I'm feeling great. I think in my mind, I'm like, okay, finally the team gets it. Team understands the message. Like, the team finally knows what we're trying to accomplish this season, how we should be playing every single game. And then that only lasted about 5 minutes. And after that is when Cruz Azul kind of adapted to what we were doing, which, credit to them, I think they did that extremely well. And for like the next, I want to say maybe 20, 25 minutes was all up until the red card.
Christian mentioned something very important, right? It seemed like the message was finally conveyed across to this team. As far as, you know, them getting on the score sheet right away, looking very well on the ball. I know, I get it, it was barely 5 minutes into the match, but we looked like the sharp America that we always knew we were capable of doing. So do you think that was credited to the formation change? Because we kind of went back to that kind of 4-4-2 diamond situation. Or do you think it was just kind of one of those things like, okay, I think it was just, it happened because it happened?
No, I think it is a formation change, because the last time we saw this formation was the St. Louis game, where we looked incredible, right? We could have came out that game 7-0. You expected that the rest of the games to look just like that. And you see the Henry Martin injury, and see that they have kind of forced another formation. I think it has to be that, you know. I think once you saw them start kind of struggling, it had more to do with the coach than the playing style, in my opinion. I think the coach kind of said, okay, now you guys are going to defend this 1-0, right? And let's be honest, that's an awful thing to do from just because you get one goal, right? Judging him, it's like saying, in the Solari ball, where it's like you have to get with any lead. And I think you saw that from Solari, where you get the one goal and it's like, okay, now we're just going to defend it, or we're just going to be very, try to be flawless, you know, where it's like if another goal comes, it's going to come from them making an error instead of us trying to force it.
Do you agree with that, Christian? Do you think that a fair assessment of what Jardine instructed this team, or at least what it looked like his instructions were?
1,000%. I think it showed more in the second half. We'll get into that in a little bit, but that's, like Chris said, and I'm 100% agreeing, that is the wrong message. As an America coach, with the situation at hand, that's not something to do, or ever do, honestly. It just, I don't know. I would really, really, really love to know if anyone asked them, like, in the post-game conference, like, it was that strategy? Like, is that how you wanted the game to be, like, panned out? Because if it was, then I don't know what he was seeing or thinking, but that's, it just didn't look good. It didn't look like Club America football.
The only real thing I saw coming out of that presser at the end was basically Jardine saying that obviously that was not his intention for the team to concede those two goals and to kind of play to that style, but never really hinted as, okay, yeah, that was my instruction, or no, the players ended up wanting to do that. But I just don't see, I really don't see this team being like, okay, we scored a goal, guys, let's just sit back, relax, like, cool. Like, I've seen that before in an America side. I mean, you're talking about, Chris, I'm talking to you about those late, you know, 2000s, where America would score one goal, they would look overconfident, and then, boom, you end up walking away with either a draw or a loss. Like, I don't feel that from this team. I don't see the players being like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be kind of lethargical and just kind of lay back and sit back. I don't think that's how this team wants to play. At least I don't think the players intend to play that at all. So I know there was a lot of talk coming into this game, and we discussed it as well, as to, is it more of a Jardine isn't conveying the message strong enough, or is it the players aren't capable of understanding the message? And Richard Sanchez actually came out and talked about it before this game and spoke to the media and said, you know, we're training at 100%, and, you know, the manager's conveying what he wants, his playing style. And he's like, and he admitted it. He's like, it's taking us a while to adjust to what he wants. It's taking us a while to learn to his game style. And I don't know if that's a cause for concern, because, Christian, we're almost to the midway point of the season, you've gotten a lot more games under your belt. You're not talking about this is just your sixth game of the season. You had 3-4 prior in the League's Cup. Like, I would have imagined by now you should have something.
1,000%. And I think from what I took from the message, I don't know if Chris here agrees with me, I took more concern than positive from what he said. You never want your team to be confused, especially midway through the season, of how you want to play and how you want to encounter the later part of the season. We still have an abundance of teams. So we still have Chivas. We still have Monterrey. We still have Tigres. We still have Toluca, right? These are good teams that we still have to play against. And to see that the team isn't at 100%, or from what the message said, not even maybe 80% of what we're trying to do, it just doesn't look good from the standpoint right now. But we were talking about it earlier, and hopefully, you know, this break kind of helps us gel a little bit better. But, you know, before the game, though, it just wasn't a good message from the fans.
I know, I thought it was a cause for concern as well, but I don't think it really was, because ultimately Chris ended up being in the starting 11, so it wasn't like Richard was. I saw some people on Twitter saying, oh, you know, he's just butthurt because he got taken out of the starting 11 in the past game, yada, yada, yada. But he fits lost right into the game against Cruz Azul. Like, if it was the case, I think Jaime would have just benched him. But I think in all honesty, he was speaking the truth.
He also echoed what the coach was saying. Like, the coach even said, give me time. Like, these guys aren't there yet. Like, I saw that too. I saw a lot of people say, oh, he's going to do what he did to Solari and get him out of here. They're professionals. I do think there is times where players do try to, like, get rid of coaches. I don't really think that's the case. This, you know, I think the best way I could describe it is from a American football perspective. Sometimes you have offensive coordinators who try to make things too complicated that it takes time for people or these players to understand it. Sometimes in football, you know, you get seasons like or on the next season for people to understand, because the coach just makes things too complicated, whatever play or whatever style they want. And that's what I think Jardinet is. I think Tano was more of let the players be themselves, you know, like, just trust on the individual talent. And I don't think Jardine is that. I think Jardine says, we got to be organized. We got to do this and that. And let's be honest, it doesn't look organized at times, you know. But I think the intention is our IQ is gonna get us through this, not the individual talent. And I think it's just, we have too many players that are very dependent on themselves instead of a team, how do I say it? Style, you know. And I do think maybe we do get better, right, with time, but it needs to start clicking sooner than later.
And that's a luxury you don't really have at America, is time, right? Especially when you came in as hot as you did. And I think it's, we're being a little unrational, of course, but I've mentioned it, that's kind of the fan base of America. And I'll get to something that you mentioned, Chris, which I think kind of really got me thinking after the game. You said, you know, you compared Solari's tenure to Jardine's tenure right now, and the similarities of, well, why was it okay for Solari to scrape by with a victory, and my criticism wasn't as harsh as it is to Jardine. And I'll get to my answer, because it really got me thinking throughout the night as to why it was the case. But it sounds like with Tano Ortiz, it was very 2D, and Jardine is very much trying to play 3D chess in this situation, right? He's trying to be more of a systematical coach, right? It's understand the system, right? Rather than you can individually do this, so you're going to rely on him being able to do that, so then we can go on and score. Now, I get it. It's not going to be perfect from the get-go, but as we kind of uttered already, Christian, there should be by now something cohesive to kind of hold on to and build upon. And to be honest, I find it hard to see or establish a foundation for this Jardines side. And that's the reality is sometimes I just can't really understand what the message is clearly. Is it attack? Is it defend? Is it hold the ball? Is it force the mistake? Like, there's times where we're pressing really high and we're like looking like really strongly like we want the ball. And then there's other times where all our players are in the back. So I'm lost to words as to, okay, what is it that he's trying to play for? Okay. No, you're just gonna not. Christian, that was your segment to just kind of say something.
I mean, you hit all the points. Like, I don't know what else to add. So in the comment that I made last week is that, you know, we have a better squad this year, right? And the fact that we're playing worse is still something I can't wrap my foot around. And I don't know if it's going to take Cabecita and Henry to come into the squad and change everything, because it's hard to believe that a player that was kind of semi-inconsistent throughout last season in Cabecita, and obviously a player who just came back from injury. So you're telling me that your plan is to inject two to the lineup and now everything should just magically work, right? Like, that's basically what the fans are trying to tell me. That's what, some listeners are trying to tell me, that these two are the missing pieces. And once these two are added to the 11, we're going to look like Real Madrid and Barcelona out. So, you know, it's just stuff like that I just can't, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me, right? And if you're really trying to play that systematic style of play, then not much is going to change, honestly. Maybe you might score another goal here because you have Henry there, but, you know, your midfield is still going to look a little lost. Your defense is going to look like complete shit. So it's going to be the same thing as last year then, right? But yeah, we can score all the goals we want, though. But if we're scoring five and they're scoring six, then what are we aiming at here? It's the same thing as last year.
100%. And the most frustrating thing about it is that this game, unfortunately, got tainted. Because once Cruz Azul got the goal, it looked like they were going to go and get the second right away. But then Charlie gets the red card. And I even tweeted, I was like, the worst thing that could have happened to this game was Charlie getting that red card, because now America is going to have that extra man. And I honestly thought we were going to be able to capitalize on that. And the reality is, shocking reality is, we were not. Like, we looked like we had 10 men out there with the advantage. And so, and to be honest, the reason why America wins this game is simply because Cruz Azul's goalkeeper just made too many mistakes and we capitalized on it. That's honest to God truth as to why America won the game. We did not outplay them. And to be honest, I don't even think we deserved the victory.
Some may say that.
I disagree. I kind of disagree with that.
You think we were the better side?
I think if you look at it from a 9, I think we were slightly better. But that's like bad. You said, the last... Oh, I get it. I agree. It's bad, but I think... I don't think Cruz Azul was all that either. I think they had moments in the last minutes of the game where they could have equalized. You know, after the Antuna goal, that's when I was like, okay, Cruz Azul is a little bit better than that. But even then, we were still pushing up. So to me, it wasn't necessarily
Right, so we like, were pushing up. We were pushing up, and there were often times where you had Quiñones pushing up with the ball, Diego pushing with the ball. As soon as they crossed that semicircle in the midfield, everything stopped. Everything stopped, and you pass it laterally that way, you pass it laterally that way, you pass it back, you go there, you go here. There was no urgency to score anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Even after 3-1.
And that happened after the 1-0, too.
That's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm saying.
So it wasn't just like in the end of the game.
So now you pose the question. Was that Jardine or was that the player?
No, that's Jardine. That comes from coaching, telling you like, hey, just hold this lead, and then if they equalize it, you're gonna go.
That was an opportunity.
It's lazy
to put seven past them again, 1,000%.
And people were tweeting that. I don't know if you guys saw that on Twitter. People were tweeting like,
yeah,
are we gonna score another seven? And then I'll say this though,
and the fact that we didn't score in the second half, that's pretty embarrassing.
True epicness says it was 10 versus 10 because I mean it's literally not consistent. I want to ask you guys, and I've been seeing this since last season, but do you ever see a hesitation from players to pass it to him, where we start forcing it to the left side or wherever he's not at?
To be honest, I have not focused heavily that on that. Much? I can't sit here and tell you yes or no.
What I do focus on is that he's just not a good player and he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah. True Epinex agrees. But although Miguel would say otherwise, he's like blowing MVP.
I wonder who that is.
Yeah, I wonder who. I wonder who Miguel Myers is. Cheeky, cheeky. But I mean, in all honesty, I have not paid attention to that. And if he ever gets the opportunity, which I'm assuming he might against the Tigres in this friendly, I'll keep an eye on that. But I wouldn't say that this game was just solely because of Layún, of course. But
no. It is
weird. I think he gave away Miguel Myers. Get rid of Hidalgo. Ryan, you know it's you. Come on. But Crew Epinex says they kept the ball on Brian's side most of the time from what I saw. And yeah, I do. But correct me if I'm wrong, but that always seems to be a tendency from us from the beginning. I even with Dano, even with Solari, we for some reason like to drift to the left more than we do to the right.
This has been always
because of the left. Who was on the right, mm-hmm. though? Because with Kevin Alvarez there, we play a lot to the right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. It just depends. But when Cabecita is there, usually the ball always drifts to his side. When, literally, that's all that I can remember for the past 2 years. So, but I mean, yes, with Kevin on there, I do see the attack being a little bit more different. Sometimes we don't even play it to the right, but it's on the left, and Kevin somehow tends to be the striker, which, like I said, it's weird. It is weird. But
you want to know what I noticed too? When I was at the America and the game, there's times Sendejas plays as a second striker, which tells you a lot of where the coaching is at too. You're going to put the smallest guy up there, and he's trying to win headers. Like,
Have you guys ever tried to focus on Sendejas trying to win a header? It's the funniest thing in the world because he still has that injury to his nose, so he knows like any straight physical contact is going to be like lights out for him. And the season's over. So it's the funniest thing ever when he goes and tries to win a header. He just jumps, but he never really truly tries to go and win it.
That's and gonna be sometimes an interesting just topic to come around once we come back. Do we start Leo? Do we start Sendejas?
Do we even start any of them? Brother, we're playing a diamond. They're not.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with. If the formation is a diamond, then
well, get away from the diamond.
Look, we can sit here and talk a little bit more about the tactics, but I think the reality is I don't see how we play the 4-3-3 that Jardine wants to play and still play Diego Valdez.
Yeah.
Unless you want to drift him out wide.
And you need, and I'll be honest with you, you kind of need Jonathan Dos Santos, Richard, and
Fidel. Yeah, you need that anchor. You need that anchor because you're giving sometimes too much liberty to Richard and Fidalgo to go up that they get lost. And there's a huge gap in between the midfield and the defense. And we've seen it get exposed big time. So, yes, you need Jonah. And that's the reality of it.
And I'll be honest with you, after seeing Brian Rodriguez be up there as a second striker, I'm really not mad at that formation. People are going to be mad because there's going to be players playing out of position, let's be honest. You're going to see Leo and Sendejas be attacking midfielders or center mid or even second strikers. But ultimately, your two starting strikers is going to be Henry and Quiñones. And their backup is going to be Cabecita and Brian Rodriguez. Like, you really can't be mad at that.
I mean, no, you really can't. But, I mean, kind of backtracking here to the game itself, because you kind of saw what worked and what didn't work with this formation. And then, like we kind of were talking about with Jardine saying to the players, hey, look, I honestly think the message is after halftime, we go in there 3-1, right? We think, okay, 3-1, boom, perfect. Like, I was already getting past being angry at the fact that, you know, we were playing like completely dog turd out there. And then I was like, okay, 3-1, it looks like we can put 7 again on the scoreboard. Second half, I'm expecting at least 2 more goals, right? Like, kill the game off. And I honestly do think that the message for Jardiner to his team was sit back, wait, they have to come and attack us. We're going to get them on the counter. And that's why I think you see that lack of urgency going forward, Christian, when we have the ball, because we weren't playing the counterattack. When we had the ball, we were playing now, and the players were like, well, the sense of urgency isn't there because we have the lead. Coach said, let's just wait, soak up pressure, and relieve on the counter. So when it's time for us to go, let's just move the ball around. Boom, boom, boom. Look, I don't mind if you want to play Barcelona ball, move the ball here, boom, there, boom, boom, triangle. But at the end, there's, you should finish off a play. Right. You don't just lose it in, you know, three quarters of the way through and be like, all right, now we run back. And the importance of that is, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, touch, go. You're in the box, take a shot, goes in, goes wide, whatever. But that ball needs to be finished. We didn't see that. There was no end product. For me, it wasn't the lack of urgency being up 3-1. It was the lack of finishing a play. That was what got me.
But also, even being up a man, and it looked like for some parts, I think from minute, I don't get my time correct, but I think it was like from minute, like around minute 70 until the game was over. I think it was all Cruz Azul.
Yeah.
And the fact that they had 10 and we had 11 and they were bossing us around, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I said it. And I tweeted it out and I sent it to you guys. It was pathetic. Pathetic. Jardine went out there and instructed his team to do that. And I get that's your comfortable way of playing because Gibran even said it out in during the game. He said, Jardine spoke about it. He said, he's like, I'm a manager that will gladly take a 1-0, a 2-1, a 3-2. Like he's like, as long as I can get a comfortable result, I will take it. Like, he's like, I don't have the sense or urgency to go out there and score 5, 6, 7 goals, which we were accustomed to with this America.
And so, that's where I have an issue with Baño, because remember I told you guys, he was doing, in my bad for interrupting you, but like...
No, go ahead.
Like, Baño said when he was looking for a coach was to pretty much have a San Ortiz type coach, which is all offensive, focus on the offense. He even said, oh, your fullback isn't the reason why you're going to lose games. He said that. He said that when they were talking about Omar Campos, they were talking about, he said Kevin Alvarez wasn't necessarily a priority. It was more like, oh, it's a tiny toy type thing, right? So for me, is from ownership, how do you, if anyone's paying attention, because I don't even know if ownership even paying attention. But if someone's paying attention to Baño, say, we're signing him because maybe he wasn't our main priority, but fell into what the style we want, right? And then you see him say stuff like that, like saying, I'm okay with a 1-0, I'm okay with this and that. That's the complete opposite of San Ortiz, right? Where San Ortiz was saying, we're going to go and score, maybe he wasn't saying out loud, but it was, we're going to go win 3-0 every game. Or if our defense isn't good, well, we're going to outscore them. Our defense isn't good. And you're saying you're okay with a 1-0? Like, then you should be vocal about in public, in the press conference, be vocal and say, I want defenders. These guys are not good. You hear rumors or reports of Mauro Lainez and Chava Reyes being offered to, or not being offered, but León is trying to sign them. Well, why get rid of both of them? You know, like if you're saying my defense isn't good or just I need to have a way more solid defense, then why not say Chava Reyes isn't good for me, send him to León, get money and bring me someone else. Maybe even from the same market, right? A Mexican that's more defensive, a veteran. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't know how you guys feel about him, but Osvaldo Rodriguez, I think that's his name, right? From León, left back. His style is more defensive, a defensive left back. You have Luis Fuentes, and I don't know how about you guys, but in that goal, the first goal from Zazur, that's all Luis Fuentes. You see him and you can't run back. He left all that open. People are going to sit here and highlight Israel Reyes and Fidalgo in that play, maybe, you know, or whoever's in that deep. They're going to highlight them. But the fullback is walking back. Go rewatch that goal. He's walking back and they're burning that left, the left side. They're just burning through speed. And then he makes a pass to the guy in the middle while everyone else is trying to go to him. They leave someone else open, but that's not on the person that they let. They're trying to cover someone else's mistake, right? And that was all Luis Fuentes. You know, and to me, it's like, why are we not prioritizing that side? Same thing when I went to the Necaxa game. People were going off on Emilio Lara. I'll tell you this much. Emilio Lara, what stood out to me in that game is he recovered everything that Luis Fuentes was making a mistake of. Everything.
Chavarrez.
It was Chavarrez that played that game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Chavarrez played that game. Chavarrez was leaving all that. But that's two black guys that do the same mistake, right? They're leaving all that open. They're more prioritizing going up. One, Luis Fuentes shouldn't be going up. I'm sorry, but for reasons like that, he shouldn't be going up at all. And Chavarrez just can't run back. He's slow. And people are sitting here and say, oh, the center back. Oh, Emilio Lara's back. Oh, this and that. Look, if Emilio Lara can't win a header, okay, I get it, you know? But if the guy that's crossing the ball is alone, no one's pressuring him, and he's able to send a perfect cross, then who's really at fault? You know, it's not the center back. It's the fullback that's giving all that space. And to me, to me, the main issue here is back. And I do think that if we, in the end of the season or even before the season, Jardinelle leaves, he needs to leave with him, and we need to bring in someone that knows what he's doing, what understands. Maybe even a former player, someone that actually played, you know, that understands all of it. Because to me, it just doesn't make sense that we still have all these issues and the coach isn't the fit and it doesn't fit with the players and we invested this much into it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I think, really, we're at fault here for drinking the Kool-Aid when we heard Baños talk on that stupid, what is it, that TV show on TUDN or Televisa, whatever, where he came out and he said, we're looking at managers and we brought in Kevin Alvarez Línea de Cuatro or something like that. And he came out and said, you know, like, we're going to get a manager who wants to play our style of football. And then, you know, it's our fault for believing him because he went, remember last time he went under, he said Roger Martinez was never going to play for America. 2 years passed and he was still playing for America.
Who got injured that ended up forcing him to play?
Man, I can't remember, but I remember it was due to an injury that we were like, okay, now we're stuck with him. But still, look, just don't go on those shows anymore. Like, just what reason do you have? Like, I get it, get the Americanismo hyped and excited, but no one else is doing that. Like, does Florentino Perez do that for Real Madrid? He just goes on there. It's like, hey, guys, we're going to buy some players and we're going to do some stuff. And, you know, good looking.
He just starts with Mbappe every report that comes out.
Yeah, no exactly.
Official bid. It comes out.
And because of Mbappe, we didn't sign Henry Martin to Real Madrid.
Look at that, man. Always because of Mbappe. But I just feel like there is this sense of, we drank the Kool-Aid and now we have to kind of live with it because let's face it, we were all kind of like in awe after the Puebla game, especially after the St. Louis game, right? Everyone was talking about Jardinelle, the Brazil team that America was looking like, yada, yada, yada. And now reality slapped us in the face and now we're looking at us and we're thinking, well, damn, what went wrong? You know, like we went from very highs to the very lows of things and I find it hard to try to find a solution if there is any here.
I mean, everyone thinks that the solution is two players.
And it can't be that simple. You can't just put in Henry Martin and be like, okay, boom, problem solved, guys. We're good. Like, if Henry Martin's going to magically fix the defense, you know?
People might be hopeful for is we go back to scoring a lot of goals. That's really the only thing we're kind of...
So we can score 3 in one half and then just sit back in the next half?
Because that's going to be the reality. Like, even if you put Henry Martin on that pitch, you really think the instruction from Jardinelle is going to be like, all right, guys, we've got Henry now. Let's go out there. Score as many goals as you want. Like, there's no need to defend. Like, we just mentioned it. He is a systematical coach, right? He wants the team to work as a whole. And if you completely neglect the defensive side of the game and focus on the offensive, that's not a systematical kind of game, right? Systematical game focuses on all kind of areas of the pitch. And they all work together. So I don't think if you put in Henry, you're not going to be like, okay, guys, no need to defend. No need to sit back a little bit. You know, and what frustrates me is there's ways to defend yourself without looking so vulnerable. Like he's a manager that says, I love possession. I want to have the ball. Then boom, great. That's how you defend. Not by, hey, here, check it to the other team. Wait back and let's try to get him on the counter. Like, I get it. We have speed. We have Quiñones. But if you're going to be playing that kickball soccer, it's not going to get you far. Because we've seen it before with other managers. We've seen it and time and time again. That doesn't work at America. What works is when we have the ball, when we go to the rival. And that is the best way to defend yourself is by holding possession. And we talked about America being a very possessive side and everything, but it's just, we can't be careless either.
It's just frustrating because you know you have, imagine Julian Quiñones, Diego Valdez, Brian Rodriguez, and Leo Suarez all coming at you at once, only for one of them. Wait, hold on, we're too far. Let's stop and let's just keep passing the ball.
Dude. When Diego Valdez had the ball on the counterattack and he literally stopped, went around and put his hands out like, all right, guys, slow it down. I was ready to throw the TV out again, out of my window. I was just,
you screamed, fraud.
Yeah. I was like, Diego Valdez, you're this close to becoming fraud of the week. Because how? Like, there could be no explanation. Do you know how mad Cabecita was at him? He literally told him something afterwards because he had made the perfect run. Absolutely perfect run. You hit it to him. He goes wide. He opens up the channel for you to literally go in there by yourself. And you decide to hold on, guys. No, wait, stop. Let's give him time to go back. Let's hold on. We have a 3-1 lead. No need to kind of run the extra mile. To me, that's mind blowing. Like how? As the number 10, you cannot do that. No way does Cuauhtémoc Blanco ever do something like that.
One thing I will say though, and we let's talk about a little bit positives, right? At least this time they were able to shoot from outside the box,
which yes, is a positive. And that's because Richard decided that he wanted to.
And Brian. And
let's be honest, the angle was given there. Oh, yeah. And well, Brian's was technically inside the box, but he started outside. But still, it was from pretty far. And don't get me wrong. Yes, I was happy with that. The fact that they're finally taking shots from outside the box. But
it took the other team to be down 10 men to do it.
Yeah. So the space finally opened up in that sense. And it's just the frustrating thing about it is, you walk out of that game and you think, let alone think that we're going to be title contenders. But then you're looking into the next game and you're like, do we even get a win against Chivas playing like this?
I mean, to be fair, Chivas really isn't on the hot streak right now either.
Yeah, I was about to say, they probably think
to be fair, but that could be even worse for us now because now they're like, well, now we're like on a 2-game losing streak and now we got America next. We got to win this one, so let's go all out.
Yeah. And I know that people are going to be thinking, you guys are crazy. Look at the table. Look where we're at. We're like literally in
a good we're sixth.
With one game in hand, right?
One game in hand.
So they're thinking, well, if you win that game, you're about 14. You're literally at 14 points. You could be sitting third, fourth. Well, I mean, I was going to say we could score three past Querétaro, but we both know that's not happening.
On paper, we're not that bad. But the thing is, the reaction isn't the table. I think expectation is we're going to be in the big dance regardless. I think that's the expectation, yes. Right?
Yes.
For us, it has been going to another final and winning it. This isn't like the reaction isn't, oh, but we're going to, let's be honest, this fan base has conversations about players not showing up in the Liga. Like, This is deeper than just regular season. Like if you were, let's say America was coming from not making Ligas or being very bad like we've had in the past, then our expectations would change. We would be probably talking about, oh well, how are we going to get there? This and that. We're talking about getting over semifinals, getting to a final and winning it. Like, it's gotten to that point where we're just hitting the same feeling over and over and over again. Like, if Jardine takes us to a semifinals, he's just another coach. If we're being honest, he's just another coach.
Literally.
It's been the same since Piojo, and Piojo gave us titles, but since his last few seasons, it was that. It was, we're always hitting this ceiling, and we're trying to bring in coaches that get us over it. So when we still see the same weaknesses, and then we start seeing new weaknesses, then the conversation changes. This isn't like, oh, we're just trying to get there. We get there pretty regularly. We get that week off, which this season there's going to be like 6 teams that make it to Liga, right? Like, directly. So it's even like Liga isn't really the what we want. I mean, it is what we want, but it isn't like the main goal, because now it's,
yeah, it is an end goal.
Yeah, it's even easier now because it is like, what, 6 teams now that make it in straight in? Like, yeah. For us, like, our main goal is getting to semis, winning, getting to the final, winning. Like, even if we make it to a final and we lose, which, knock on wood, it's not that we lose. Let's say, okay, we got over that hump. We got over that semi. But if it just hits the same ceiling, then it's the same issue. And like I said, I went on a rant about Baños, and ultimately that's what it is, right?
I think you have some merit there, because it is a frustrating thing. Because we do have to get to that hump. And I think we're all looking at it exactly like that, within that perspective. It's not, okay, it's not because of the league. It's because we know that this is not good enough to get us past a semifinal, let alone a quarterfinal. So it's just, I guess that the Americanismo is envisioning themselves already in La Liga, already trying to get to the promised land. The reality is this team is not going to get anywhere in that. Because it's not a playoff team. It's more of a crappy win here and there, you know. To be honest, America's playing like a mid-table team. Let's just be honest, right? He's got us playing like San Luis when he has to make us play like Brazil. We're not there yet. Are we gonna get there? I hope so. And is Harina the man to do so? I don't know. To be honest, I really don't know. Because like Midwestern Cholo said, it felt like a loss after the Cruz Azul game. And I'm be honest, that's how I felt. Literally felt. I was so upset. I was so mad that with a man up, a 3-1 lead, you go and you sit back. You give the instruction to sit back and let the rival come and play. I'll play you. That is unacceptable. That is unheard of. And Christian, I think it's just... Too. Exactly. And I think we're talking more about a Americanismo perspective than anything else. That is just, like I said, pathetic.
But thankfully, before we started the whole podcast, let's talk about the break that's coming up. Have about a week and a half to kind of, you know, recover the injured players, maybe kind of, you know, iron out details here and there, and start working on to becoming that team that we all want us to be. Will it happen in this friendly and in the extra days preparing for the Chivas game? Probably not. But you hope to see glimpses of it for majority of the game against Chivas, which is a must win. A draw or a loss would be unacceptable, because then at that point you're asking. Yep. But we'll see what happens though. I'm excited to see a boy bring to the friendly. I hope he takes it somewhat serious, at least the first 45. Maybe you know, bring in some players there. To kind of get them a little more game time. Cabecita obviously looked like he needed some game time there. Henry Martin will need some game time. To kind of get them up to speed with everything.
Henry won't be going to the Tigres game.
Who?
Henry won't be going to the
Tigres. Well, there goes my hope for that.
You're like, all hope is lost now, guys.
hey, but Cabecita could play that at 9. If they play the same formation, the Diamond could play right there too. And
yeah, but you're gonna have to. So why would you play Cabecita there?
Well, competition. There's nothing wrong with. Let's say Henry doesn't come back from the injury. You gotta need to have someone there. You know?
Is he gonna take Quiñones?
Or let's say Quiñones.
Is he taking Quiñones to the friendly?
I thought he was training.
No, he's with the national team. He's not.
Yeah, that's why I was like, he's training with the national team in Mexico.
But I mean, it depends. I don't know how long he's there.
I know he got invited for 2 days, no?
If it's only 2 days, he should be at the friend.
Well, we'll see. I guess we'll keep an eye on that whenever they start flying out, which is going to be...
Were they playing Friday. Boston?
They're playing in Austin, yeah.
Is that a good
field? They'll fly out on Friday. Huh?
Is that a good field?
Yeah, well, they're playing it at the Austin FC Stadium.
Okay, because you know how sometimes these friendlies be in the States. They go to the most crappy football stadium and you come back all injured.
No, they should be in some decent this decent pitch territory, but we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what that game tells, and I think a lot of us are going to keep an eye on a little bit more closely, even though it's a friendly, because there is some things that need to be improved, and there is some things that we need to see improved from the get-go, and we'll see if that happens.
I think I speak for everyone where when I say this, that hopefully he plays the left-back youngsters.
Yeah.
And they catch his attention and he start playing him, because this is one of those situations where you see these youngsters and they always perform in these friendlies and you're just like, come on, man, just play them. Like, the worst case is they sink it up and then you have to start playing the guys that were already playing. You know, worst case scenario, it's the same thing, right?
Right.
But I'm sure I speak for everyone where we want to see Mauricio Reyes or Ralph.
Is the Chivas game the right game to experiment in that sense?
Probably not.
I would say that there's an argument to be said on both ends. Probably not, and probably yes.
Probably yes, only because they're a Canterano and they obviously know what it is to play for America and against Chivas. Like, that's probably everyone's dream, right? There's arguments there.
They might have a Torito Silva game. Was it Torito Silva? Or More Mosquera? Who was it?
Torito Silva.
They might have one of those games. You never know.
No,
right? Left back?
Layun scored like 4 goals as a left back one. So
that's true. Check it out on our TikTok page. It's on there. I mean, you're right. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's why I said this friendly may be interesting to see what he has cooking up for the next part of it. I think we're all in the greens here, even though we've thrown so much negativity tonight. I think we all just want to see it be a better version of themselves, as we know they can be. And let's just see if Harden can figure it out, because right now you're not giving us much hope, but obviously things can change, and I guess that's what we all want. It's for us, I guess, get better with the game, reach the Liguilla, and hopefully have a...
No, yeah, and then look, this is the beautiful and also the ugly thing about soccer. It's fans have a very short memory. And if you start producing things on the pitch and you start winning games and you start looking convincing, well, everyone's going to forget, you know, these past couple of weeks where we looked like, you know, like a mid-table team. So if you go out there, perform, beat Chivas in a good way, and then you go out there and you play. But the thing is, these next couple of games, they're not easy games, and they're not walk in the park games. They're literally, you know, tougher opponents. So I would say that he has a steep hill to climb, but like Christian said, we want to believe, you know, we want to back the manager, and we want to say that, hey, you know, you are the man to lead us to the 14th, like he proclaimed he wants to be. So I think there's a lot of work to be done. And Chris, I just kind of want to answer your question that you proposed to me that night, because I was very mad. I was very heated, and I was talking very aggressively on the DMs on Twitter.
Cuss me out, guys. Cuss me out.
And you mentioned, right, because we were talking with Brian and Dylan and Christian, and you talking about how it was unacceptable, the way that we performed, the way that we won, how we just barely escaped with a win. And you mentioned that, you know, because you had been listening to the podcast ever since we started, and then during the Solari era, you said, I would kind of give Solari his flowers and say, you know, it was an ugly win, but a win is a win. We got 3 points and we continue to grow and we continue to stack up on the table. And the criticism wasn't, well, this is America, you can't stoop to that level. Like, this can't be good enough. I'm sure somewhere I said that, but not necessarily more enough to be like, I'm anti-Solari. And it got me thinking, because you mentioned, you're like, well, why is it okay for Solari to come away with these type of wins, but not Jardine? And it literally, like I was watching the game on my phone. We were going to some barbecue dinner thing. And the whole game, the whole time we were driving, I was watching the game and I was upset. And then I was thinking about it. And everyone was talking, having a good time. And I was just kind of in my head thinking, like, why is that? Why is Chris? They even asked me, they're like, Ivan, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And really, the only thing I was able to come up with was under Solari, he inherited a team that Miguel Herrera built for himself. And that team is nowhere near as good as the team that we have right now. Also, we have been spoiled with back-to-back semifinals, right? And I think that in itself as well has maybe kind of up the bar where it was with, you know, prior to Solari. And before with Solari, we had just been kicked out in a quarterfinal against Chivas. We haven't really reached our biggest height. And so it felt like, okay, we were building up to something. And now, like Christian mentioned, well, we have something really good. We actually have the most expensive squad in the CONCACAF region. Like, we have, well, yeah.
Monterrey, well, we because of Tecatito.
Yeah, Monterrey is because of that. But you see where I'm coming from? Like, the perspective was one thing with Solari, and with Jardine, the expectation is blown out of proportion. I get that. I understand that. But that is just kind of the world we live in, because the trajectory from this team coming to right now was really high. Like you said, our hump is a semifinal. That's not a lot of teams can say that that's their hump, you know? And with Solari, the hump was like, well, do we make Liguilla or
the rebuild?
Yeah, the rebuild aspect of it, right? I don't think America's in a rebuild section. America for sure was in a rebuild portion with Solari. America now is kind of almost a finished product. So I think that's why the criticism is maybe exactly like how it shows. If I had a graph to present it, I would, like Solari down here, Jardine up here. And that's really all I could think about was, yeah, I should be If my criticism to Solari was like, okay, it's fine, we're getting the points, where the trajectory is moving along, the agenda is moving along, and great. Same thing goes with Jardine. We're winning, we're not losing, we're getting points, we're scaling, this team is gelling. The reality is this team shouldn't have to gel that much. It's literally the same team from 2 years ago almost, with maybe two, three.
So let me ask you guys this, both of you. Let me ask you guys this. And everyone listening, you guys can respond to this question too. You guys see the results, right? We're winning games and everything. We're not really in bad position in the table. Does this team feel like there is, at any moment you're going to just see a bunch of losses and ties? Is that your gut feeling, or is it just your expectation is, and you're hopeful that we're going to start looking really good, but the results are going to be the same, we're going to continue to win? Is it just more of a doubt and just waiting for that drop? Or is it more just in the moment, in other words?
No, it's waiting for that drop. It's almost like that Solari season where we played Pachuca in the quarterfinals, I believe, and they just steamrolled us. And we almost had to come back, but it just felt like that when they first started just scoring goals on us, that's how that felt. We were doing the same thing. We were winning games, you know, barely scraping by some teams, having convincing game one day, but the next five, we're all like, oh, what are we doing here? We're winning, but like, is this really going to carry us to the final? No? Okay, whatever. We got Pachuca. All right, let's see what we can do. I think we can beat Pachuca. Absolutely steamroll us. That's kind of more the feeling I'm getting right now.
Of course, Solari, he must just be haunted by Pachuca, because it was Pachuca what outdid him too. Wasn't the Pachuca that beat us like 4-0 or something like that that kind of fired him?
I believe so. And yeah. Then Tano started that Tigres game afterwards, no?
Yeah.
Monterrey.
I think it was Monterrey. No, it was Monterrey. It was Monterrey. So, yeah, poor Solaris. He can never go to Pachuca. I'm assuming he just has PTSD. But to be honest, to answer your question, Chris, whatever the middle ground is for that, because I don't necessarily think that this team is just going to utterly just fall apart and break down. I think we're too talented for that. But I do see us losing games where we potentially could have came out with a result, maybe even a victory. And I see a lot of games where we should have won ending in draws because we decided to sit back, because we decided to be a systematical team that didn't want to go and score goals when the opportunity presented itself. Like, my biggest thing with, like I told you guys, my biggest thing with America is we're not managing games right. We're not killing these games off. We're not finishing plays, right? I told you, I'm fine with you playing the tiki-taka, the Barcelona, the slow build-up play, the 1-2 passes in the back, you know, retreating, resetting, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it. I'm okay with that. Like, bore me for 45 to 60 minutes of you just passing the ball around, but as long as we're winning, I'm cool with it. But make sure, one, you're finishing your plays, and two, you're not handing the opposition the opportunity to come and attack you as well. That's my thing. It's manage a game. Manage the game wisely. And I haven't seen that from this America side. And the only time we did was because we were scoring goals left, right, and center. Like, this team is at its happiest when you just liberate them. Like, you tell the players, go and do your thing. Like, just go full on attack. And that's when you see the best football. That's when you see the best of these players. And I think, I'm hoping Harine is going to realize that and maybe give him a little bit more liberty against Chivas. And we'll see whether or not that pays off. But for me, I think there's a midway point in what you were saying, in the fact that I think we're not necessarily going to be losing all these games, but we're not necessarily going to be winning all these ugly games either. I think there's going to be a middle ground, and that's what I'm afraid of. And I think that's what we need to avoid.
Hopefully we kind of have that Tigres-esque season where they kind of look mid throughout the whole tournament, and then some way or somehow in Liga, they just turn up and become prime Brazil from 2002, and then they just start destroying everybody. That's also kind of what I'm hoping for. But unfortunately, that's not what I'm getting right now, though, is my problem.
So last question, what is your expectation for this month? Where we already faced Cruz Azul, so that's 3 points, right? We got Chivas next, and then on a Wednesday, we got Querétaro, and then we got Toluca, and we ended with Pumas. How many points out of that?
Damn.
Expectation. I'm going to be honest, Toluca and Pumas is going to be really tough. That Toluca at 11 for us, Ivan, is usually a
never,
tough game.
That is never an easy game.
But Querétaro on a Wednesday could be very ugly as well, where we don't lose, but we could end up with... That's Pumas at home, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
It's a very doable game, but it's a classic one in the end of the day. And those games against Pumas could get very ugly, very physical, very ugly. So what is your expectation? We already got the 3 points.
Oof. And then, on top of that, next, I know we're talking just September, but just a doble jornada with Pachuca. Ugh. Mm-hmm. This is not pretty at all, guys. To answer your question,
the Clásico here in LA against Chivas. You got Santos, mm-hmm. Monterrey, San Luis. San Luis is doing good. Solos. And you end it with Tigres, where we might not even have our starters up. Maybe. Big maybe, but.
I mean, I hope
we get 12 and 12,
but I mean, I don't know.
Twelve seems like a stretch, dude.
It seems like there's a loss in one of those games. I don't know which one. Most likely the
Toluca. I'm thinking the Toluca game too, and it could be the Pumas game. And just because the Pumas game, I just expect it to be ugly. I don't know. Uglier than this Cruz Azul game, because in the end of that Cruz Azul game, we got very ugly. But I think Pumas might be more grimy than that. Which I don't know what exactly Jardine wants these players to do in those situations, right? There's some players, that some coaches that let players be, you know, just live out the heat. And there's some coaches that don't like that. So I really don't know where.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what are your expectations? It's 12 points, right? So we already got three. I know we're going to do predictions later on. 12
points out of all these games in September? So you're talking 15 points in total.
Wait, how many points? You said Christian's at 12. How much is it in total?
1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 games in September. So 15. We just got 3 against Cruz Azul. 15.
Yeah, 12.
Okay. So 12 man, remaining.
I want 15 out of 15. I know that's me living in a crazy world. Heck, I even want to say 13. I'm gonna go bold and say 13 points.
And I'll be honest with you, a lot of them look like it's possible that we could tie them up.
Yo, yep. For real. They all look like drawable games.
Yep. That's what I was looking at right now. That's why I was like,
your worst nightmare is Tapia keeping a zero for
yeah. Literally is. Oh man. I don't know. Yeah. I want to say 13. Maybe 10 if we're being realistic, 12 if possible, but I'm gonna go with 13. That's what I'm going with. 13 points.
That's a Luca game.
September is jam packed
for Menudo.
Yeah,
perfect that, breakfast.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we'll see. But I mean, obviously, there's still plenty to talk about and plenty to see and. Still early in September, right? We have that international break, like Christian said. Maybe a blessing in disguise, and you know we regroup and we'll talk to you guys next week. And hopefully, we're feeling a little bit more optimistic than we are right now, and definitely after that Cruz Azul game. But I guess the only thing to add on is the transfer rumor of Junior. What is his name, Chris?
Alonso.
Junior Alonso. Possibility of coming to America.
Joaquin said we might be looking at to bring a center back, a defender, this upcoming week, which, if I'm not mistaken, should be the deadline this week for Mexico. No?
Yes. Deadline is coming up.
How do you feel about bringing in a center back?
We need it.
Yeah.
We don't have a center.
No, but I mean, instead of prioritizing a left back or.
Center back.
You think it's center back?
Center back is a leader.
Center back.
That is probably our best choice or best shot at somewhat organizing. I don't think a left back will do that. In my opinion.
No, because if that was the case, then Kevin Alvarez would have sorted things out.
Right.
He hasn't.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I think center back is the best shot. But left back is definitely needed next 1,000. No question.
Yeah. I mean, it's just. It's going to be interesting because I think obviously this transfer window has not been hiding this transfer window. Like he has not said out, like he's not said like, I want Quiñones or I want Kevin Alvarez. Like he didn't get the chance to come in, assist the squad, be like, okay, I need this guy gone. I need to bring in this guy and that guy and yada, yada, yada. We still don't even know what formation we're going to be playing going forward. So I think once we get a better idea, then we'll assess better of, okay, we have an idea of what we need and who needs to go and kind of go from there. That's that. But hey, we'll keep you guys up to date with everything. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. And then we'll have you guys up to date with everything. Make sure you guys follow Christian as he's trying to point to his handle.
It's not working well. It's not working.
There you go. That's right there.
Subscribe to his OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Right there. That app right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, right, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.
I will be here.
I need a debate. F-bombs everywhere. Just I needed to be ugly that day.
We'll have that show ready to go if we need to censor it when we go live, and then once I upload it, I'll make sure to put the little E for explicit. So we'll be ready for that day. But all right, thank you, gentlemen, for coming out. It's been fun talking all things. I think we got a lot off our chest, and now we feel a little bit better. Maybe we sleep a little bit better at night as well. All righty then. You guys have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.